The views and opinions expressed by hosts, invited speakers, and callers do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the Black Talk Media Project or the Black Talk Radio Network.
The Lotus Place tonight on this Wednesday night, February the 17th, 2016, and it is the night of outrageous news topics tonight, and we have Delta Kruger and Mother Zola with us tonight. Greetings, sisters. Greetings, sisters. Are you there? Can you hear me speaking?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes. Come on off that mute. Yes, come off that mute.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I can.
Okay, Bill. All right, get ready. Look, get ready. I'm like a preacher now. Get ready.
Is Isis hat on?
No, Isis hat tried to call me, but
yeah, she tried to call me. Yeah,
okay.
Hi,
Delta Kruger. I'm on.
All right.
You got to text me, you know, Alma.
Okay.
Who, me?
So,
yeah.
Oh, okay. Okay.
All right. Welcome in, everybody. We are live on the air at the Lotus Place Radio tonight. And tonight is the topic of outrageous news topics tonight. So, there has been quite a bit going on over the past week or past few days, shall I say, with the Beyonce controversy, Kendrick Lamar's performance at the Grammys. There's been a lot of controversy around that. Still controversy around Beyonce's performance. There was a anti-Beyonce protest rally or something organized, and only like two or three people showed up, and then the organizers,
oh wow,
yeah, they had the audacity
Ashir
to be upset. Yes,
Ashir, I'm sorry, I don't mean to cut in. Miss Hedda just sent a text. She say open her mic up. She at that 507.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right, Ashir, we have you.
Hi, Ashir. Hi, I've been waiting for all of y'all. Scotty, too.
Hey, Icy Hot. I'm glad that you sent that message about that, because, you know, Icy Hot has several numbers, and sometimes we don't know what number she's calling from. But
that's because the NSA don't want me to talk to you all, so I have to have all kinds of numbers to talk.
I know.
Why did I want to talk to you all?
You
on the cover. You gotta keep a
low.
They want you to keep a low profile.
A little educator just trying to help the people out. You know, a little retired educator. You know, she's just trying to do a little something. It's not like she's trying to formulate another ISIS or anything like that. My God. Let little Mother Hattie talk. She's a little church.
She must be on the threat page.
Yeah.
I'm just a sweet little old lady trying to help children.
I'm not trying to help the children. And help uplift. Yeah, look, Mother Hattie got hot sauce in her bag. That's what it's.
Oh, yeah! And see, the children is what they got to work look out for. Yeah.
Yeah.
Got hot sauce in her bag.
Yeah.
Hot sauce so I can
so I can put it on my fried fish, huh, when I go to them fancy dances.
Wait a minute. I didn't get a chance to share this when we were talking about Beyonce's video, but when she sends that video, when she says that statement in her, or the lyric in her song Formation, and she says she has hot sauce in her bag, I mean, look, now I'm not kidding, and Delta may know people like this, but she's down there in the South too. But I know people that carry hot sauce in their bag. They carry that Louisiana hot sauce in their bag.
You better carry it.
Huh?
You better carry it. You better carry
it. Yeah. I mean, look, I knew a couple of ladies. When we would go out to eat, they would pull out their hot sauce from their bag, from their purse, and they would say, yeah, because, you know, I can't trust that every restaurant I go to will have Louisiana hot sauce.
Well, they're not going to have it. They're not going to have it. They're going to have that old Tabasco. Tabasco.
It's not the same.
The number one thing for your hot sauce is when you're having a fight, you can throw the hot sauce in the ass.
I have never heard that one. Let me tell you one. This is the best one, though. Perfume. My little boy got perfume on him today. And I was telling them people, this is serious stuff, because some people are so allergic to perfume, you'll be dying up in here trying to get some perfume off of you. And I had to suspend a little girl once because guess what? She started fighting on the bus and she sprayed perfume in somebody's face.
Wow.
Perfume is used as a weapon now. You can call that a weapon.
Wow.
It's worse than mace.
Yeah.
But hot sauce face to be licking it off.
Wow. Perfume as a weapon. You know, I never thought about that. But yeah, perfume. Because I don't even wear like perfume, spray perfumes anymore. I wear the oils. But I can't wear perfumes anymore because it's just too strong for me, and it's the alcohol in the perfumes is just too much. So I can see how that can be considered as a weapon. That's interesting.
It is.
Yeah, but that hot sauce in that bag, that is something else. Well, I mean, I really fell out the first time I saw somebody pull out some hot sauce.
Are you kidding me? Oh, that's Roscoe always carry hot sauce in his bag. And you wonder why everybody, but we would look for Roscoe at one of these really elegant dinners because he had the hot sauce. Everybody knew Roscoe had the hot sauce with him.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. Roscoe got that hot sauce. Got that hot sauce in that bag. Speaking of which,
and I'm
ice is hot. No, go ahead.
Let me tell you this. This is one thing I carry with me in my purse, too, all the time. I carry me a tea bag of good earth tea because nobody ever have no good tea. So you just get some hot water and bring out the tea bag and dump it in there.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
So you bring your own tea. Look,
I bring my own tea bag.
I thought about bringing my own coffee with me to different places, but I'm trying to come up off the coffee. Maybe I'll start packing a few tea bags so we can have hot sauce in our bag and some tea.
And some tea.
Get it going. Let me give out the phone number for people to call in, and they can let us know if they keep some hot sauce or tea in their bag too. And welcome in, Brother Brown. Hey, Brother Brown.
Good evening. How you doing?
Hey, Brother Brown.
Hey, Brother Brown.
Good evening. What's going on? How you doing?
Hey, Brother Brown.
Mrs. Donna.
That's why we calling you. You need to tell us what's happening.
Let me give out the phone number. Let's get into our show. I want to give out the phone number, and then if Mother Hattie can just share with us briefly like what she discussed on her show on yesterday, and then we can move into Delta Cougar's hot topic. 641-715-3660 is the number to dial, and the participant code is 549032. Press pound and then press *61 if you would like to speak. Let me just share that again. 641 715-3660 is the number to dial, and the participant code is 549032#, and press *61 if you would like to speak. So Mother Hattie, you had a show on yesterday. Could you share with us what your topic was on yesterday?
Well, what we were talking about, of course, was the wonderful Supreme Court and that vacancy that was in there, and what was basically happening around that. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that we just came up with, and Mother Dunning, you know, had been telling us that, and finally it was Loretta Lynch, Supreme Court Justice nomination, and we haven't heard it yet, but that's a name that's circling. And we were talking about how they were talking like, oh, he didn't need to, the president currently sitting did not need to be appointing any Supreme Court justice in a year of election. But come to find out, there's been 8 who nominated in the past, previous years, and 6 of those were seated as Supreme Court justice. And so that's what we basically, in a nutshell, talked about and thought it was very interesting.
So, yeah, that's one of our hot topics tonight, since Justice Scalia passed, or was, I don't know, murdered or whatever the hell, taken out.
Yeah, because they tried to say a killer was over his face. You know what? It's probably one of them hooker pillows was over his face.
Yep. Because he was at a resort, wasn't he?
Mm-hmm. He was
at some resort in Texas.
Texas.
And you know, Texas is something else, isn't it? A lot of stuff happens in Texas.
Oh, yeah. They say all my exes live in Texas. They say I'm in my head in Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so that's a hot topic that we can discuss tonight as well.
And then we also talked a little bit about the Flint, Michigan thing is always going on, and I wanted to bring up another one about Reverend Pinkney. So anyway.
Okay. So what about Reverend Pinkney? Peace be with him. Lord, I hope he's protected.
Well, yeah, we're trying to find out, well, why couldn't this be used as a strategy while all the Flint, Michigan pieces are going on? Because basically this is what landed him where he is incarcerated, because he was trying to recall a mayor. He was trying to, the mayor was trying to get recalled, and this was one of the things that he had wanted to do in a petition. And he basically, because he was expressing his Democratic political rights, been incarcerated because of it. So people do what they want to do, and we as black folk just can't seem to have any rights around in this country. And our white jury sentenced him to something because simply he wanted to express himself and had petitions signed, and they had no evidence, and the judge told them they didn't have to have any evidence. And Justice Department, from what I understand, had been there observing this trial, and so something needs to be done about that. And they keep moving him around from place to place to place, with, you know, away from his family and wife. This is a 60-some-year-old man. This is totally injustice.
What was the crime that they locked him up for? I know that he didn't commit anything.
They said it was 2 names on the petition that were not certified properly.
I remember now.
Voter fraud is what it was called.
Okay, I remember. Yeah, that's so.
Now you know that.
So minute. It's so minute.
Far out.
How many years did they give him? Excuse me.
I'm not sure. That I cannot answer. I don't know.
Did he have a state penitentiary or a federal penitentiary?
I'm not sure.
But they're moving him around like that. He's probably in a state for something.
That's what I'm thinking it is.
Well, but see, a lot of that goes back to this, and I'm going to say this religious. A lot of that goes back to the attorney that he had representing him. See, if there's no evidence that he actually signed the names, or fraudulently signed the names, and it can be related strictly back to him, then what type of lawyers did he have? And I'm saying this because, not because I'm, because we get beat at the chessboard, and the chessboard is the judicial system, whether it be the criminal justice system or whether it be the civil justice system. That's where we get beat at, because we haven't prepared ourselves properly to deal with that issue. And we get these lawyers, and we pay these lawyers, and we think, because there is no watchdog over these lawyers, that they end up doing whatever they decide to do with us, we left out there in the cold. And my thing is that if you don't know the rules, don't play the game. In other words, I use that expression and say, we have been here for over 500 years, and we have not learned the game of white folks. See, I was looking at this 2-hour documentary last night about the Black Panther Party. And one of the elements that I'm trying to not do with my organization is, number one, limit the people that's in it from a membership perspective. And number two, let's utilize the best effort that we got in our existence. And that is our women. One of the problems with the Panther Party was this male chauvinistic bullshit. They did not utilize their women. And if you look at the African structure all over the world, especially in Africa, women play a very important role as long as they got support as men. But you never see, when you see Mugabe or them real strong African brothers, the woman is always beside them. Always. Because she was put in our lives for a purpose. And not just for a sexual purpose. Black men have a problem with that. And if we don't get over, and if we don't get over that problem and learn how to utilize our women want to help us. You know, they want to help us. They want to do whatever is necessary to help us as a people. But you can't help a people when you still got a slave mentality that you boss over your women. You haven't got rid of that. And that's what our problem is. And that's what happened to the Panther Party. After that, with the infiltration, they disintegrated. You know, and there has been nothing to equal the Black Panther Party or the UNIA in this country. Well, you got the Nation of Islam, but they're not universal. And what I mean by universal is they only take care of their own.
Yeah, and speaking of the Nation of Islam, they're having a Founders Day here in Detroit. I'm still in Detroit, back here. Just came back yesterday. Founders Day is taking place this weekend.
Right.
Here in Detroit.
And that's gonna. He makes a message. He broadcasts it from Chicago because that's where everybody go on Founders Day in February. Everybody here to Chicago. But what he does, he's got a satellite. He just like Pat Robinson. He's got a satellite, and all of the mosques around the country, they get that message on Founders Day. They can't make it to the Founders Day, you know, they can't make it to the court. But,
yeah,
you know, we have to be adamant about saying to our women, the way that I deal with the people on this program, this is what we have to do to progress. And women are your best workers. I learned that from my mentor.
Men,
they're better organized. Right, but we have to. That's right. A lot of the strategy in there have to come from the male, because the male is supposed to be able to, number one, protect the women and foresee things that's gonna happen to them. But when you don't have that vision, when you don't have that vision of protection, you don't put your women out front. You never do that. The women may be the best organizers, but the men have to be the generals, because they're the ones supposed to be out front. When you have to put a woman out front, you
mean
the
men. Queen Azinga, didn't she lead the wars against?
Yeah, absolutely. You know why she led? Queen Azinga led because there was no chief. That was a passing down a bloodline. You gotta remember that. Let me finish. She was a queen by bloodline. That's how she became the leader.
But she still led, though, didn't she?
But yeah, the point is, I'm trying to make it, you know, there were some women that led some of these fights and wars.
I'm saying, and I'm not trying to negate that, because Queen Azinga is my favorite, because they could never break her. But what I'm saying is that in that structure of African hierarchy, that was passed down to these queens that did lead. It's not that there wasn't any male participation. They were the leaders because they were the rulers of their country, just like, in other words, just like the Queen of England. The Queen of England, she leads the goddamn country, but her husband is there. But I'm not using that as a scenario for their white folks. What I'm saying is that the hierarchy structure of African bloodline led these women to become queens, because when the king died, who they had to rule.
Yeah, in many African societies too, you know, the lineage and the power goes through
right.
The patriarch.
Right.
It just depends. That's one thing that a lot of people, I think, try to think of Africa as this big monolithic type of place, but there were many different cultures, and so people are quite different from country to country and area to area before it was divided up into countries and all of that crap, anyway. So, yeah, we agree on all of that. Delta, you want to come on with your hot topic? And we can pick back up, because Brother Brown wants to present the Black Panthers to us. This is 50th anniversary. Yeah. Come on with your hot topic.
Okay. Well, we got a law they tried to pass in Mississippi, and it's going before the Mississippi, you know, Senate. And the law is 786, and it's called the house bill, like the church house bill. And what it is they're gonna designate people who can carry guns in the church. People who gonna carry guns in the church, who gonna be able to, like, if somebody come in the church and you come in and think you gonna kill some people, they gonna have people there with guns, and you're not gonna know who that carrier of that gun is. And if they kill you, you're not gonna be able to be prosecuted. So they passing a law, if they kill somebody when they come in there, be prosecuted. So they trying to pass this law in Mississippi.
Wow. So what do you think about that, Delta? So is your church going to designate some deacons or something to carry the guns or what?
No, my papa is already packing. So.
But your papa don't go to church, though. Your papa don't go to church.
Papa goes sometimes.
Papa goes sometimes. Papa goes to church sometimes. Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. So is Papa going to bring his sister to church?
I don't see nothing wrong with it. Yeah, I don't see nothing wrong with it. Because this is true. This is how they catch us off guard. Because we don't prepare ourselves. We know you breaking in the church. We know you coming in. We know you killing. And your number one goal is when you come in, when you kill, to take out many as you can when you come in. So if you don't have sense enough to take a gun and protect yourself, you're crazy. And they're trying to pass this law in Mississippi, and it will become the first law on the book. And I don't see anything wrong with it, and I think they should. Okay, now let me move on to New York
City. I have a question
okay.
about it. Okay, so does this mean that anybody in the church can have a gun and shoot somebody that comes in there shooting, or would there be designated people like Black Rose was asking who will be, privileged to carry guns? Yeah.
Well, what I'm saying, yeah, it's going to be like certain ones that preaching them going to designate certain ones who going to carry a gun from the congregation. And if they want to be the ones that protect the church, they can. But they got to have a license in order to carry. And it's strictly if somebody coming in, to try to do like the young man did. Down in South Carolina.
Right.
So, So now they're going to take you out and kill you, and you would, the law is on the book. You will not even, there will not be no trial. You will not even be prosecuted.
So it'll be a safe self-defense, pretty much.
That is correct. The law will be on the book. It won't be no trial, no nothing. It was you automatically immune from a prosecution.
Okay.
Let me ask this, Delph, because I thank you, Delph. I love that hot topic. I really do. Nobody got shot in the head, especially a baby. So I love that hot topic. Thank you. I want to ask our legal person, Brother Brown, what does he think about that?
Well, I was cool. And one of the things that I have a problem with is we know that white people have had laws on the books. When you look at states in the South, there's always been laws on the book in reference to what to do with us. And they always try to find legal ways to justify them carrying weapons and you not having the weapon. And that's basically what this is saying, So, if we go to their churches, let's say a person go to their church and he's unkempt. That means clothes are dirty, but he's supposed to be searching for God. They have a right to kill him, and it's justified.
I didn't understand that. Say that again.
They have a right. If they pass this law.
No, say the whole part again.
Okay. What this is part. A continuation of the Casual Killing Act, because they know that sooner or later some black person will wander into a white church, maybe seeking help, and if they find out that this person is not suitable for them and their congregation, then they're gonna kill him. And it's
but he doesn't have a God. That law he was talking about is.
No, but they're going to use it in another way. See, if you wait till somebody shoots you, what they're going to do, this is what they're classifying as a, I heard it on TV the other day, it's classified as a preventive measure.
Just somebody walking in your church, being black, and they can shoot you.
Thank you. They carry things to a level that they're going to always be in power. And we need to see it as this. See, this is not a joke with white folks. And that's why we're going to talk about the Black Panther Party tonight, because some of the ideologies need to be brought back into play. We need to understand the whole concept why the Black Panther Party was created. And that has been one of the things that have been misconstrued over the years, is because the definitive elements of why the problem was created has never been brought to the table, especially dealing with our youth. They see the black berets and the black leather coat and the fist raised up in the air, but they need to see more than that. People need to be, people need to understand the elements of the 10-point program. They need to understand, they need to understand these things.
Mm-hmm.
And understand the necessity of saying, if I have an organization and I got three women over here in Texas, I'm using them hypothetically, and they're part of what I'm doing, then let me get my ass up and catch a plane to Texas and start something down there so we can progress.
Brother Brown.
Yeah.
Greetings. This is Brother Scotty, and greetings to everybody.
Hey, man, how you doing, brother?
I'm not going to complain too hard to you, sir, but I'm surviving behind these enemy lines. I'll just put it, leave it at that. But I just wanted to piggyback on something you said, because I've seen a lot of criticism thrown Beyonce's way for, you know, that halftime show. And some of the criticism is legitimate, but some of it, I think, misses the big picture. And like you just said, is they need to see more than the leather jacket and the black berets and the black power fist up in the air. They need to see more than that. But the big the big picture of what she did is, I've heard from several people, and including some young people in my family, have asked me, well, you know, about the Black Panther Party and what they stood for. And I'm seeing a whole lot of positive articles. And you guys, of course, you're going to have the negative articles. Of course, the haters got to hate. But I've been seeing a whole lot of positive articles that have been coming out every day, going more in depth into the party and what it stood for. So I thank Beyonce for that alone, for sparking the interest in some of our youth to look more to the party, because I agree with you. While we can't bring the party back, we certainly can implement some of the programs.
You know, I was very instrumental, and I don't talk about it too much, but I was very instrumental in working with the new Black Panther Party under the leadership of Khalid Muhammad. And I worked with them religiously on police brutality. Now, Malik Shabazz was part of that. I didn't deal with him, I dealt with Khalid. But I remember the night, and I'm just sharing this, I remember the night that I got the call about 3 o'clock in the morning.
Brother Brown, Brother Brown, I hate to interrupt you, but we did miss a break about 6 minutes ago. Let's take a break. And then that way we can let you pick back up on that, and Delta Kruger continue with her.
Oh, that's right. It's about 10:30. Yeah, we missed 5 minutes. Okay.
Yeah, so let's take a quick break, and then we'll come right on back, and we'll pick back up with you. And let's go into Delta. Let's let her finish her hot topics, and then we can pick back up.
Okay.
Just, you know, combine that with the Black Panther presentation.
Yeah, because I really want to talk about Scalia.
Tuned in to the Black Talk Radio Network. For podcasts and live program scheduling, visit us on the web at blacktalkradionetwork.com.
This is Brother Elliot, host of Time for an Awakening, and you're listening to Black Talk Radio Network, new media for the new millennium.
All right, Delta Kruger, let's let you finish your hot topic so that we can pick back up on some more of our topics.
Okay, well, did I talk about the man in New York City? He was dating his girlfriend, and he got so angry because he talked to a man on Valentine's Day. He just talked to the man, and he had the young lady, she had three, she was 34, he was 40. They had the three kids.
one kid belongs to him, one of the babies. He killed her and her three kids in New York City. And to me, that's you normally don't find black men wiping out the whole family. This black man, 40 years old, wiped out the whole family. He wiped out the mother and the three kids. And to me, that just unheard of. I never heard of anything like that. So, okay, now let's go on down to Richmond, Virginia. We have a mother. Now, this is a black mother. Hold your horses for this one. A black mother. She's 44 years old. In 2004, she had a 10-year-old son went missing, and she never reported her son missing. And I'm going to tell you something. She didn't report her son missing, and nobody required about this child. To me, that's a travesty right there. You got a 10-year-old child missing. This child has been missing for all these years, since 2004. The police stopped a woman on the road driving her car. When he went into the back of her trunk, there was the remains of her son that she had been riding around in her trunk since 2004. Don't you know somebody smell that? Where was the family members to realize that this child wasn't around? To me, that just unheard of. Why this child wasn't missed? Why nobody didn't say nothing about this child? I just can't get over that. Okay.
Somebody that nuts probably told everybody the child went to stay with his father or something like that, really.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let me give you a couple more, and that's it. We got another one out of New York City. Well, this man and his girlfriend killed the dog. they made a sex tape. And in the sex tape, they used the dog.
Oh, and Lord.
They killed the dog. And for killing this dog, y'all won't believe how much they get these black people. They give them 60 years in prison.
Oh, I can believe that.
60 years in prison.
Mm-hmm.
60 years. So then we got, let me give you one more. I got plenty more, but we can save them. We got another one out of Florida with a judge. A young black man was driving, but he was already on probation, and he was driving his car, and he was driving the car, and he was intoxicated, and he was already, like I said, he was out, you know, like he had probation. The judge for this young man driving with a DUI conviction, the judge gave this black boy 60 years in prison. Just for driving drunk, but he had, you know, he wasn't supposed to be driving, but the rule is in this town, this judge, when any black person come up before him, he always give the black people way more time than he's supposed to. And so the people started a watchdog and started watching him. But when he gave this 40, 60 years, the people went out and started contacting celebrities, Oprah Winfrey, and different people got on board to expose this white judge. And
where is he again?
In Florida.
Okay.
And he was going to get away with it until the celebrities and different ones came on board, and the mother wouldn't take no for an answer. But what he did after he's running for re-election
and all the people start coming out against him, he changed his mind and gave the boy another chance and told the boy that if I told the young man, because the young man I think was 23 or something like that, told him if he kicked him driving again, that they would lock him up and they would automatically put the 60 years back on the book. And the reason they were giving him so many years because they say he had been in a little kiddie crime. But now, you're gonna give somebody 60 years for a DUI? And here it is, the police kill a black man every day and don't get no time? And so, stuff like this infuriates me and makes me so angry with the system that the white man have set up. And it's set up for any little mistake the black man makes, he's already doomed for failure. And I'm going to keep
But I thought system. Florida, had the affluenza rule where you could get affluenza. Well, isn't that Florida?
It's Texas.
No, that's Texas. That's up there in a shell town, ain't it?
Oh. Yeah. That started in, I think Aja, Mother Zola and I were talking about this. I mean, this lawyer, and I have to give it to him. I can't think of the lawyer's name, but he was brilliant in just coming up with the name of it. But we as black people, we've been experiencing and knowing that white people have this quote unquote, affluenza case for a long time. Because if you think about it, Mother Zola, we were talking about this. When we see somebody speeding down the street doing about 100 miles an hour, we automatically know, okay, that's a white male, or either he's a police officer, and he knows that he can get away with it. He either has the money to pay for the ticket, or he has the clout.
Connections.
The clout and the connections to be able to talk his way out of that ticket or being arrested. So, I mean, we already know they have affluenza or whatever the hell they want to call it.
Yeah, they just came up with the name for it.
Yeah,
they just came up with the name for it. Right.
All they did.
And it's all over, really. It's not just Texas. Yeah. It's all over.
Yeah.
Yeah, they use that universally because they use that against that little boy. They use the same thing with that little boy that pulled a head out of accident. I can't think of his name, man. Then he was running from the police because he was on house arrest. Well, we have to understand what Bobby Wright said. He said, he who defined words rule. And when we're dealing with a crooked, racist system, like the criminal justice system, it goes back to what I said a little bit earlier. These systems, you don't know the game, don't play the rules. You don't know the rules, don't play the game. These systems, unfortunately, were set up to make sure that the black man stayed intact. See, as long as we can always incarcerate him, as long as we can always give him time, we always will have control of their women because there's no man. And we need to understand that the Trinity and the hierarchy of the Trinity of our ancestors was the man, the woman, and the child. That was etched in stone in Africa. Not the Europeans, not no Greece, not no England. Before they came out of the caves, we had this. And they knew this. See, but what hasn't been taught to us is that we are the supreme rulers of this universe. And the woman is the supreme matriarch of the universe, because without the woman and her reproduction efforts, we will have no tribe. We have to get back to the basics. We've been told not to have no kids, told all that foolishness. They don't want you to have no child because they don't want the next Messiah to become a black man in his community to lead his people out of this bondage. We have to get to the bigger picture. I commend the women that I deal with because I don't think there's anything that I have said or did or asked them about, including Mother Dunn, Sister Hattie, Mother Zola and Ashira, that they wouldn't do because they know my integrity. And that's what we have to do as a people. We have to bring our own integrity within our own and train our children. I had a young man that stopped me in the store tonight, and he said, "Hey man, how you doing?" I forgot who he was, but I was instrumental in a case that was up there involving a young boy that was charged with rape. A lot of these young brothers come up to me and thank me, man, for standing in, even though I couldn't make a change, but standing in the gap for that brother, because wouldn't nobody else in the community stand for him. Got out there in the cold and protest with him, and it was like 15 degrees that day. But my thing is that when we see all of these little pocket cases that Mother Dinah brings to us, which I appreciate very much, it lets us know that the problems that our ancestors had haven't gone anywhere. And it's up to us who are left to deal with these problems. You know, and I intend on making my trip to Houston, sitting down with Mother Zola and Sister Cheryl on Black Road, and get this ball rolling. That's my plan for this year. If I have to come to Mississippi and help Mother Dunham establish something in Mississippi, that's my goal for this year. If I got to go to Minneapolis with Sister Abby, that's my goal for this year. I have to do that. My ancestors told me I have to do that. I have to set up something so we all can come on one accord so we can get the ball rolling. Ain't no more time for no NAACP or none of that BS they preaching, because the positive energy that I feel from these women that I'm dealing with on the radio is what's needed to start a revolution. See, I don't need a whole bunch of people. I need people that's going to act. That's people right. That's going to listen. See, a whole bunch of people, you know, doing nothing, and you don't have a personal connection with them. Somebody's going to infiltrate you.
That's true.
And, you know, that's what happened to the Black Panther Party, unfortunately. The ideologies there were brilliant. You had brilliant minds and when they first came together, it was one of the most positive elements since the UNIA. And like one of their slogans was that we don't want church people, not denouncing the church, don't get me wrong. We don't want church people, they're not here for religious purposes. We want the people on the corners. We want the people that suffer. They clean up a lot of people too, just like the nation did, and people never got any credibility for it. The free breakfast program, you know, we went beyond that. We were the vanguards of our community, just our presence and our stature. With the black hats on and black leather coats, because I had one. I had a turtleneck. I had all that. See, what that did, we were the first organization to actually put the fear of God in these people. If you fuck with our women, use my language, we're going to come and get you. If you mess with my children and come in my neighborhood with that foolishness, we're going to come and get you. See, during that period of time, after they got established, you didn't see a lot of inbred police brutality like you see now.
Right.
You didn't see that. They stopped that. And that was one of the main purposes that J. Edgar Hoover invented COINTELPRO. Because he said that he could not deal with our armed Negro. Mm-hmm. And the white folks started calling us crazy. But he renewed them and put the law in their hand. They said, this is our constitutional right. When you gave us our citizenship, deprived of our citizenship, we couldn't own a weapon. A black man couldn't own a weapon. It was illegal for him to have a weapon, even for hunting. So when we did get the right as citizens under those amendments that was passed, I call them the three nigger amendments. 14th, 13th, 14th, and 15th amendment, the nigger amendment. You know, and I say that religiously because these were the concessions that they gave us legally in their eyesight. to make us think that we were equal to them. Huh. See? And you know, when you really study the nature of white supremacy and racism, and you see how diabolical it is, it makes you pray to your ancestors to give you an avenue and a plan to defeat this. See, that's what we should be praying for. That's what we should be putting our energy into, because it's programs like this and other programs like the One Brother Scatter produces. These are programs that let people know that there is some help, and we have to get back into being community oriented. You know what I mean by that? What does the community need? That's one of the things that people didn't understand about the Black Panther Party. They were the community oriented vanguard for our people. You didn't see a lot of street corner sales of drugs. Okay, now I'm not saying that they eliminated the drugs out of the community, but you didn't see people standing on the streets when the pamphlet was visible in these communities. You didn't see that street corner stuff, people sitting in front of the house and kitchen chairs selling dope when people ride by. You didn't see that. We cleaned that up. And if it was done behind closed doors.
Brother Brown, I have a question.
Yeah.
Please explain to us, because some of us may not fully understand what vanguard means. What do you mean when you say the Black Panther Party was the vanguard of the black community?
In other words, the terminology of vanguard means to protect.
Gotcha.
Protect the elements within the community from outside forces that was going to destroy the community. And that's what the vanguard means. They were our protectors. See, when you saw the guns and you saw the black leather coat, a lot of people get the misinterpretation of what they represented. The guns represented our right to bear arms. That means that we have a right to protect ourselves. Malcolm talked about that prior to his demise. And he said that, you know, we should have been, you know, we should understand the necessity of owning and having a weapon to protect our women and children. When they went up to the state house in Sacramento and protected Betty Shabazz, that was years ago in California, when she went to the UCLA, one of them schools or whatever the situation was, they were there to protect her. So all of these bad guys that we got in our community were shooting each other. See, you ain't doing nothing. And I talk to you all the time. Your energies are being directed in the wrong path. You need to be protecting us from the elements that's coming into the community that's self-destructive, like the Arabs. Run them out of the community and open the store to ourselves. I'm tired of them. But I know what happened because I did my research. There was a wave of immigration during the Ronald Reagan administration. And Ronald Reagan not only lifted the cap for people to come from this region of the world, they gave them the opportunity to, because they came from this Middle East region, as they called it, which is nothing but Northern Africa, they gave them the opportunity to open up these gas stations. That's why when we go to all of these filling stations and gas stations, they're no longer owned by black people. They're owned by Arabs. They leased all of the big oil companies made sure that they were financially taken care of. Break time.
Are you searching for the best in online black radio? Then go to blacktalkradionetwork.com, helping you filter through the noise. Real talk, black talk.
So I'm guessing that we may have lost
we're not allowed to
Black Rose.
Because they're
inmate.
I'm in a
cell
with the solid door similar.
You lost
them? No, she's playing a clip.
No, I'm here. I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Let me just pause it.
Yeah, that clip.
No, I apologize.
Kind of low.
I was on mute. I was speaking and I was on mute, so I apologize. We'll play this quick clip of Huey P. Newton. And then we'll come back.
Okay. I got a couple of questions I would like to ask the women too after this clip.
Okay. All right. Great. All right. This is
Huey P. Newton. Four and a half. Found a
Black Panther
day out, 24 hours. So the treatment has been very abusive, and as far as the attitude of the police, there's a hostile attitude, and just recently, I was put on punishment for 15 days where I wasn't fed at all, only a half a cup of green substance that I couldn't eat. And this has been the treatment.
Why do you think it's happening?
In the first place, that the police here are merely an arm of the establishment. Their purpose is to protect the establishment and punish those who disagree with the goals and the activities of the establishment. And so there's a necessary contradiction between what I stand for and what the establishment and their protectors stand for.
What's your impression of the demonstrators outside who have been outside the courthouse every day since this trial began?
The people, the community that's given support to me have helped me to keep a high spirit. They are my inspiration. And without them, it would be...
Okay, that one has some echo going on. So let me just try another one quickly.
Okay, it was coming all through. Right. It was coming through pretty good there. Yeah.
In America, black people are treated very much as Vietnamese people or any other colonized people because we're used, we're brutalized. The police in our community occupy our area, our community as a foreign troop occupies territory. And the police are there not to, in our community, not to promote our welfare or for our security and our safety, but they're there to contain us, to brutalize us and murder us because they have their orders to do so. And just as the soldiers in Vietnam have their orders to destroy the Vietnamese people, the police in our community couldn't possibly be there to protect our property because we own no property. They couldn't possibly be there to see that we receive the due process of law for the simple reason that the police themselves deny us the due process of law. And so it's very apparent that the police only in our community, not for our security, but the security of the business owners in the community, and also to see that the status quo is kept intact. When we first started, we had a police alert patrol, and we would patrol the community. If we saw the police brutalize anyone, we put an end to this. Usually the police wouldn't brutalize anyone if we were on hand because we were armed. And if the police arrested the individual, we'd follow him to the jail and bail the individual out. About whether he was a Panther or not, and we would gain many recruits like this. So therefore, the community started to say that, well, these people are really concerned about our welfare. We feel that the white students should relate and pay more attention to the colonized situation here of the blacks first, because after all, this is home. And they should. This is not to say that they shouldn't denounce America's treacherous actions abroad. I think they can be done at the same time. That it's just a matter of placing emphasis upon the criminal activities of America here in the homeland.
All right. And that was Brother Huey P. Newton. I believe that was an interview from his jail cell, actually, when he was incarcerated. I think it was 1967, I think. But anyway, so that was Huey P. Newton, and that was a great, great documentary on the Black Panthers on PBS last night. So I think Brother Brown was speaking about that, too. I got an opportunity to watch that. It was really good. So if you haven't seen it, try to pull it up on YouTube or the internet, maybe you can check it out.
Yeah, I'm gonna order that and make some copies and distribute it to some people. Because what I'm trying to do is get some of these black brothers in these barbershops, I'm trying to make them aware that this vanguard in our society needs to be passed down. You know, and I know guys that I go to that do my cut my hair, edge me up. And I gave them a tape one time, a DVD of Hidden Colors 1. So I came back three weeks later and I asked the brother, I said, man, how did you enjoy the tape? He said, man, you know, I ain't play that thing, man. I forgot. I said, man, he said, well, what is it about? I just took it back from him and I didn't question no more. Well, the minds of our young brothers have been coerced into this interracial dating thing. And you know, I'm not against that. That's not a person's choice. But there are more what I can say wanting elements in the community that need our attention immediately. And like I said, when our women and children have no protection, and you know I beat that dead horse to death, and I will always do that. When our women and children have no protection, it makes us as African males not understand who we are. That is our duty and our job. But the question that I want to ask the women tonight that I have been dealing with, what, going on 2 or 3 years, I guess, 3 years, I know you're willing to do what's necessary. Will we accept, as a group of people who have been together for 2 years, will we accept the challenge of me coming down and helping establish my organization in various places in this country with the women I'm dealing with? Because I feel like it's necessary. I have the wherewithal, as well as Brother Scotty and Uncle Lana, because we have to start moving in a direction, in a more expeditious manner. This is my point.
Okay, let me say this, Brother Brown.
Okay.
And what you're saying is great, and I think that can be done. But we also have to recognize that Mother Hattie already has an organization in place as well where she's trying to build women. So we can't leave out Mother Hattie. We can work with you. We can work with Mother Hattie. Let's all figure out how we're gonna pull all of this together. Because I'm not trying to say that you starting an organization or having your organization is not a good thing. It is. But what I see is we have so many people starting organizations, and we can find what organizations are really trying to do something and have the wherewithal, and we can work with those organizations that are already in existence.
Well,
I'm not saying you not having yours. I'm just speaking outside of this circle right here. I mean, we have two people right here that have organizations, so we can build amongst those two organizations, and we can pull people together to work with those two organizations.
Yeah, what my point is that the Mother Hattie's organization is organizing young women, and I agree to this point. Our young women need to be organized by older women. And I'm in agreement with working with anybody who's doing something positive. Point is that organizations that are not doing anything that's positive. What I mean, I don't mean no banks or nothing like that. We have to start addressing our problems in a more progressive manner. And when I say progressive manner, we need to start attacking problems with a solution.
Uh-huh.
See, all right to protest. There's nothing wrong with that. It's all right to, excuse me, it's all right to discuss issues. But when are we going to attack the issue? See, we have to go into an attack mode. And we have to pass that energy to the younger generation, because we're not going to be here forever. I've been to 2 funerals this year. And my time is limited on this planet. But I have to, as my ancestors did, I have to leave something for somebody to follow.
Okay, so let's let people answer the question, and we need to move on, Brother Brown, because Ozzy needs to bring in her mind, body, and spirit.
Absolutely.
And we got to hit the other topics that we have. Okay, so Aja, you want to bring in your, you doing your melanin in me or a mind, body, and spirit? Aja, come off your mute.
Aja. Aja might be dancing.
She might be dancing.
Ain't nothing wrong with that.
Oh,
sister.
Okay. Wait a minute. Okay. Aja,
you had me on mute.
Okay. I didn't mute you. I don't know what happened. So, okay.
Okay.
You have.
Okay. All right. Under mind, body, and spirit, we have the different segments. Love your body, melanin and me, conscious revolution. So tonight, we're going to do melanin and me. And we're also going to be introducing lyrical angels. As soon as we get that kind of the logistics straight with Scotty there, how we're going to do that. So that's going to be another one. So tonight, we're going to talk about melanin and me, the M word. What's the dilly? People say, what is melanin and how can it get me some free, some liberation? You know, I know we got melanin, it makes us black, we got brown eyes, you know, so how can it get me some free? So here on the Lotus Place under Mind, Body, and Spirit, we're going to have some short segments on melanin because it's so, the topic is so wide, it's difficult to cover all of it in just one segment. So tonight we're just going to introduce some basics about melanin, okay? So, and how we can use it to our benefit eventually, and how we can arm ourselves with the information that the white power structure so much wants to keep hidden in order to keep us in chains. We as black people need to know the basics about melanin and how to nourish melanin so we can get some positive use from it. Black people are controlled by their failure to realize that the black race is a melanin-dominant race. And the key to controlling black people is to reduce their blackness, their melanin usage, and their knowledge. And this will, in turn, reduce their very ability to be black, which will directly affect their ability to be human and seek what is humanly theirs, which is freedom. So black people are a race nourishing themselves as if they are Caucasians. Since the Caucasians have the least amount of melanin, then black people that eat as if they are Caucasians are giving themselves the least amount of nourishment to their melanin.
Right.
Am I on that echo?
No, I don't hear an echo.
Okay.
A little bit of echo, but it's not that bad.
Oh.
Okay. All right. So this causes them to utilize the melanin. What you said, Scotty?
I don't mean to interrupt you, but Black Rose, when you looking at the board of the active speakers and the callers, you can see the meter, the audio meter, and that's how you identify whose phone the echo coming off of, because we got like 5-6 lines open. So when you're playing a clip or somebody's talking and you see a line that keeps echoing and doesn't stop, then you could just mute them until, you know.
Okay.
All right.
All right. Thank you, Scotty.
Oh, and that was me. That wasn't Black Rose who had muted you, Aja. That was me because it was some echo coming off your phone when she was playing the clip.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you might need to I think it's because you do sound a little louder than others.
Okay.
And I don't know if it's maybe your headset or what. So, okay. Yeah. Something going on there.
Okay. All right.
All right. And I knew Brother Brown would love this melanin in me. But I had to call Brother Brown.
I'm loving it.
Call in.
Oh, Scotty loving it too? Good. Okay.
I'm very interested in something that's going to produce power. Not only is our power, but you know where it's supposed
Okay. All right. Since the Caucasians have the least amount of melanin, then black people that eat as if they are Caucasians are giving themselves the least amount of nourishment to their melanin. And this causes them to utilize the melanin the least. We are unknowingly fighting against melanin and ourselves. You ever notice how excited and upset the white race gets when black people realize they're really black? When they take ownership of being black and proud of it?
That's right.
Back in the 60s, when Afros were getting out of hand, who do you think came up with the jerry curl and the process? Yes, exactly. We thought that was it was not. It was them. And then all of a sudden, people started, you know, leaving the Afro, going for the jerry curl, hair hanging all down your back, slinging all that juice everywhere.
Well, why do you think you get a jerry curl then?
Huh? Did I tell you?
I said, I'm getting ready to say. To go get a jerry curl. Take me to go get a jerry curl. I guess because you ask.
Whatever you ask for, do with your hair. I say, okay, cool. But I did not encourage you. No. Okay.
Jerry curl. Anyway.
By then, you let them know you're kidding, because by then, sweetheart, you were doing your own hair. She started doing her hair at 13. So who do you think was behind Beyonce's perming her daughter's hair? Ignorant black people, yeah, but mostly the people who pushed it were the jealous white. And that was scary.
That's right.
Beyonce's video and performance are perfect examples. Oh, Lord, she knows she's black. Sound the alarm, you know. Everybody just went up in arms. Why does it bother them so much when we take ownership of our blackness? What's it to them? Asians do it. Indians do it. All other cultures do it. But when we take ownership of being black, it's just not tolerated. We are not their children. We were
That's
here
right.
first. How can we be their children? And they want to treat us like we're their... No, you can't do that.
That's right.
Black Rose and I, in our family, we were always taking ownership of our blackness. And everybody just like, oh, Lord, there they go with that black stuff again. Anytime black people take ownership of blackness, even some black people get scared. You know? So, here are some basic facts about the M-word. Melanin is the biochemical substance that drives physical, mental, emotional, and spiritual life.
That's right.
It is in everything, in everybody, from the butterfly to the lotus plant to the hippopotamus and to the little bitty ant. It is essential to be alive.
That's right.
Melanin is a civilizing chemical. Let me say that again. Melanin is a civilizing chemical. It reproduces itself. It's a free radical protector. It can be transformed in the blood. It concentrates nerves and the brain information. It neutralizes and oxidizes, converts substances. It reduces another substance. It is unchanged by radiation and high temperatures. It is inside and outside the body. And the more melanin a race is, the more humane and civilized the race. Let me repeat that. The more melanin a race, the more humane and civilized the race. And absolutely, they know that. A lot of us do not realize that. And that's what scares them. They know that they're not as civilized as we are.
Come on.
And even when we have movies, you notice in the movies, the ones that they make, the Jewish people make, if there's anybody that's got compassion, it's going to be the black brother or the black sister. Because they know that we are more civilized. There's a melanin convention every few years to which no black scientists, no matter how smart, are invited. Scientists have tried for years to reproduce this chemical. The pineal gland, which is in the middle of the brain, which is a true master gland, not the pituitary gland, but the pineal gland, also referred to as the third eye, it secretes melanin, which regulates all bodily functions and glands, your cycles, your rhythms in the body. This is important. Thank if you me. Have it in abundance, if you have an abundance of melanin, with all of this that melanin does, what does that make you? If you have less than anyone on earth, like Caucasians, what does that make them?
Thank you.
People of African descent, Africans and African Americans, whether they want to own being African or not, have the most melanin content on this planet. They have the most. And the Caucasians have the least. Melanin absorbs all types of energy, such as sunlight. That's why they can't stay. They want to be brown, but that sunlight is not good for them. Melanin absorbs all types of energy, such as sunlight, electromagnetic, music heard by the human ear, and sounds the human cannot hear. That's why we're so good at music. We can hear all those beats and sounds and rhythms. They can't hear all that. Phone waves, radio waves, radar, computer, radiation, X-ray, cosmic rays, ultraviolet rays, heat waves, microwaves, etc. If you do not have enough melanin, which Caucasians do not, they are unable to perceive all of this. So Caucasians are unable to perceive certain sounds and certain types of light waves due to their low concentration of this light sustainable molecule. So they had to make certain adjustments, which we'll talk about in other segments of our show. The color of melanin appears as black because it is absorbing all colors. Once the color enters the melanin, it cannot escape. It's locked in. Melanin is concentrated colors. It is a cellular black hole, similar to the black holes in outer space. And it has also been called the fountain of youth. And you know some Caucasians want them some juice because they look terrible as they get older. So think of it this way. I came up with this idea of the Superman phenomenon. What if you came to Earth like Superman with special powers, but after so many generations, you were not aware of these extra abilities, and another race had discovered ways to squelch your abilities using various tricks and tactics, like kryptonite. Y'all remember kryptonite? How Luce Lecter used kryptonite against Superman, and he just really didn't know, and he'd get all weak and everything. So just imagine that scenario. Many forms of kryptonite are being used against us to squelch our powers of melanin. In order to be able to get the most of your abilities, you require certain nourishment in order to use these special powers. So the other race made certain that this information was not only kept from you, but bombarded your system with the exact opposite. What is it they put in toothpaste? I haven't used toothpaste in so long. I forgot.
Fluoride.
Yes, that calcifies the pineal gland. So that's just one tiny thing that is used against the people of color who are so melanin dominated. So on another segment or other segments of Melanin and Me, we'll discuss melanin and how it relates to the eyes. The eyes have it. And that's just not in voting. The eyes have it. And we'll talk about that in another segment. So continue listening so that we can arm ourselves, because guess what? Freedom is coming. Brother Brown, freedom is coming.
That's right.
Okay? Brother Scotty, freedom is coming.
It's coming.
That's mine. All right. So what y'all got to say? I'm like, that's a cool. What y'all got to say about that?
Well, I'm going to say this. I'm going to be the first one to comment.
All right.
It was an excellent presentation because, as I said so often in the time, certain things have been hidden from us for years.
Yeah.
And one of the things that has stopped our freedom was our discussion upon ourselves and who we are. See, when you're not given that positive energy as a youth, especially like I was coming out of the project, you know, it was just like a fight. You know, you had to fight for everything. But coming out of the projects and seeing the Black Panther Party was a plus for me, because it looked like everything, all of the energies, and that's when I first learned about melanin, all of my energies were directed in the wrong fashion. And as I read various books like Rap Brown, Die Nigga Die, and Soul on Ice, I read all these things in my youth. I was an avid reader. But the melanin, I later learned in life, the melanin was what kept me going. Just that pineal gland, always searching for information, for information, you know. And even when I went, when I started going to the Nation years ago, and I read the autobiography from Malcolm X, I said, if they treated their leader like this, who actually made the Nation what it was, that's not the organization for me. Because
they treated Dr. Khalid Muhammad the same way.
Anyway, yeah, they did. But I was with Khalid when he was out, because he came in off of like three different times and we met. And, you know, he discussed some things that was going on. And, you know, I worked with the youth, because he had the majority of his youth in some of his videos for young brothers that I still work with today when I go to Virginia. And, you know, but what you said about melanin, I can't get over that. It's so essential that we learn this.
It's very essential.
That's what I'm saying about learning how to utilize our system. You understand me?
Right.
Because
know thyself.
Man, know thyself. And if you know yourself, you gonna know your women. You gonna know what the Black woman needs. You gonna know what she thinks. You gonna know how she acts. See, that's very essential. That's why so many young women around here today that can't get a decent man, because nobody has taught these young boys how to be men.
Yeah, Let's hear from Delta and Mother Hattie.
Did we get any calls?
I'll check in just a second. I want to hear from Mother Hattie and Mother Dunning, because, you know, Mother Dunning will fall asleep on us if we don't engage her. So let's let Mother Hattie and Mother Hattie have a little time to share.
Oh, well, I'm just really enjoying the melanin talk, and I'm, you know, I'm getting ready to go in there and research me all of that info around melatonin now.
Yeah. I was shocked to see the melatonin pills, like in Walgreens and the different pharmacies, like in the vitamin and supplement aisle.
Right.
Now, you know, melatonin is something that helps you rest. Melanin is totally different.
Right.
They cannot put melanin in a pill.
No, they can't do it.
They've been trying for years, but they cannot reproduce melanin. It cannot be reproduced. That's why they have these conventions every few years.
Right.
That's why they steal the woman's placenta, the Black woman's placenta. They've been stealing that for years, you know, trying to reproduce it. Yeah.
And what makes it so unique is that what they're trying to reproduce is a genetic material that can only be carried by us. And that's what messes them up. So this ain't
that's
something
what messes
that
them up.
You can't pull this out of us.
Yeah.
Because we didn't put it in us. The creator put it in us. And you can't duplicate it. And they can't duplicate it. That's what really messes them up. They have these conventions every year. They're still trying to dump because they know that that's where our power lies. We haven't discovered that yet. So what they're trying to do, that's why they still want white women to have black babies. Mm-hmm. They're trying to get a leadership in the future of people that you got melanin in them.
Right.
And they can't do that. But that was an excellent presentation.
Yes, thank you.
You got to call me after the program tonight. You call me because we got some talking to do about this melanin. Please call.
Okay. Yeah.
If you don't go to sleep.
Delta Cougar.
She's sleep.
Delta Cougar. Delta Cougar, I want you to speak about Justice Scalia and his nomination, President Obama and his nomination, your thoughts on that. Delta Cougar, are you with us? Delta Cougar, I'm going to call your name one more time, and then I'm just going to cut your mic. I'm going to completely hang you up because I'm just not going to deal with this. I can't do it. I just really can't do it. Okay, so that's that on Delta. No letters, no nothing else.
Oh, no letters.
No, I can't deal with this.
Oh, well, maybe it's a mute problem. I could be Scotty muted or just, did you mute Scotty like you did? Because that happens sometimes to me.
Let me double check.
No, I haven't muted anyone.
No. Okay.
And let me double check. Okay. So going once, going twice, Delta Cougar, goodbye. And don't call back because I'm not dealing with that. I'm just not. I can't take it anymore. There's only so much I can take. And I'm just kind of fed up with that. So anyhow, I want to play this clip with this little young little white girl. I'm not even going to call her name because I don't want to give her any energy. But she was like going off on the whole Beyonce video thing. And I don't know if you guys are familiar with this radio host, Charlamagne the God. He's on The Breakfast Club, which is a pretty popular little show, morning show. And so Charlamagne the God and his Breakfast Club crew, they gave this little white girl the donkey, I think it's the donkey of the day or something like that title. And it's like when somebody makes, you know, gives some type of stupid statement or something. So they give that person the donkey of the day. So she actually invited him to come on her show to explain why Charlamagne the God gave her the title of donkey of the day. So I want to play this quick clip.
I'm saying if you want to start talk about protecting black communities, you can't just select the things that you want to talk about. You have to be mindful of all of it.
Well, you have to understand, Jay-Z also said in a rap that he went through that. So hopefully the next generation of men didn't have to go through that. He also said, don't follow me, follow my moves. So when you talk about changing the community, Jay-Z changed the community as soon as he decided he wasn't selling drugs anymore. As soon as he decided he wasn't selling drugs anymore, he went into legal businesses and he took other brothers off the street and he showed other brothers the way. So I don't understand how you can sit there and judge somebody off their past, especially when you said that America needs to stop ripping off the historical band-aid and give it some time to heal. Okay, and I agree with you on that, but this is the thing. If you don't want us to look at the past in America and the things that happened and you want us to deal with it now, why are you trying to use Jay-Z's past against what Beyonce is saying?
I'm not using it against what Beyonce is saying. I'm saying if we want to talk about the problems in black communities, you can't just talk about police brutality. You have to talk about all of it. Otherwise, it will never be a solution. There are still going to be problems in black communities. If white officers stop shooting any black person, there are still going to be problems in black communities. We need to address that as well.
Okay, if you go to an HIV AIDS rally, right, and the rally is about HIV AIDS, Tommy, do you stand up and say, what about cancer? Do you?
No, when you go to the Super Bowl and you're celebrating a day when everyone to come together, you don't stand up and salute a terrorist organization like the Black Panthers that committed acts of violence. I would never support a group that was a white supremacist group or any other group. I don't condone that. There are better leaders. There are better leaders than Malcolm X and the Black Panthers.
Malcolm X and the Black Panthers were individuals who just wanted to see Black people liberated. They tried to empower Black people. You may not agree with their methods, but guess what? We don't always agree with all the methods that America uses at times.
Then let's agree to disagree on that then. I don't agree with their methods. You agree with some of their methods, not all of them. Let's put that aside. And let's move on now, because I want to talk about something that you mentioned on your radio show. And your co-host was reading some of the comments under my video on my Facebook page, and I found it interesting because she cherry selected some of them that I didn't think was fair. She did the ones where I had certain fans that were supporting me, and I don't support some of the things that my fans have said. I don't support any of my fans talking about African Americans disparagingly. I don't support that. But what she failed to point out was the numerous death threats, the racist comments made against me, my family, my friends. How come those weren't read on your radio show?
I mean, what did they have to do with the situation?
Exactly. What did they have to do with the situation? They came after me. They came after me in one sentence, Charlamagne. They called me a racist cracker. How do you call someone a racist cracker in the same sentence?
How do you call the Black Panthers a terrorist group when that's not what they were?
They committed acts of terror. They were a group that responded with violence to violence with violence. I don't believe that's the way. Martin Luther King didn't believe that was the way. Charlamagne, he didn't believe that was the way. But I want to move on now to something else that you mentioned. You mentioned hands up, don't shoot, and I want to clarify this. Because that, by the Justice Department's own account, was a false narrative. So to say that Michael Brown has hands up, don't shoot, quit citing that, because it's false. And that is clouded in the argument.
Michael Brown didn't have a gun either. So do you think that whatever Michael Brown was doing in that manner, do you think it should have resulted in his death? Do you think that he should have been gunned down like that?
Grand jury felt that Darren Wilson was in the right. That is the jury system. If you want to disagree with it, that's fine. But that is the way it works in the United States when a grand jury decided
O.J. Simpson was in the right. But I bet you think he killed Nicole, don't you?
Again, and now you're talking about me bringing up things that are unrelated. What I'm saying is, using that narrative, you don't have to have a gun to be dangerous. You don't have to have a gun to be dangerous.
Okay, so you think it's fair if I have a gun and me and you get into an altercation and you don't have a gun and I'm a distance away from you and I gun you down? Like, I think about a situation in North Charleston, South Carolina, like Walter Scott, where a routine traffic stop, where Walter Scott tried to flee the scene, he got gunned down in the back. You think he deserved to die?
I am not talking. There is no question that there are problems in this country between police and community, and I'm not going to dispute that.
So why are you trying to?
Then let's cite the correct ones.
Why are you trying to deflect from what Beyonce was trying to bring attention to, which was police brutality? Like, everybody said her performance was anti-police. It wasn't. It was anti-police brutality.
This is part of a larger movement, just like anything, just like I'm sure the Black Panthers started out as. The Black Lives Matter movement went from something with great intentions that was meant to bring about a political message, and then it turned ugly. When they're protesting in the street and they're roasting pigs and they're calling death to cops, that's when it turns ugly, and that's when I take issue with it.
Let me say this to you, right? When it comes to police officers, we know all police officers aren't bad. You have these incidents where certain police find themselves in these situations, and situations like Michael Brown, Tamir Rice, they happen. Should we judge all police by those few police officers who went rogue? Should we judge all police and say all police are bad? No, we shouldn't. So you shouldn't do that either, because that's what you're doing. You're saying that all of the Black Lives Matter movement is wrong because you may have
It's a movement. I'm not saying a few individuals. Not every individual in the Black Lives Matter movement is wrong. There are several that have great intentions. The movement has changed. It has become something that has been a method of intimidation, and it's led to de-policing. And you and I can disagree about this all day long.
You're lying.
Charlamagne, is there not Black Lives Matter protesters that are calling death of the police and they're roasting pigs outside of police departments? Is that false?
Okay, and so that was part of the interview with that little young girl. I'm not even going to call her a name because she is not relevant.
Not at all.
She's clearly quite uninformed. Or maybe she's informed and just wants to control the narrative and steer the conversation in the way that she wants to steer the conversation.
Exactly. Exactly.
Then just misleading people or I guess maybe trying to educate her audience to what she wants them to think and understand about the Black Panthers, because clearly if she has read anything about the Black Panthers, she would have read that the Black Panthers started the breakfast program, which was implemented by the school system across the country.
I have a question.
Right. So this is one thing that I think that Charlemagne the God kind of handled her pretty well. I would have liked to seen him just go in a little bit.
Whose program was that? Was that his?
I wish that you had been on the other end of her. You would have just handled
her.
Yeah.
I would like to handle her
all the way down.
I would love to handle her.
You would have handled her too. I would have loved to have handled her. I think they quite. I think Scotty was trying to ask a question or share a comment.
Whose program was that? Who was the host of the program? I don't understand who. I mean, don't tell me the person. The that thing's name. I don't care to know either. But was that on his show?
No,
actually, she has her own like little conservative.
Okay, so he was a guest on her show. Because, see, she was over-talking him. And, see, I studied media. And, yes, control the conversation. This is classic Fox News. You see this technique used on Fox News.
Right.
It's actually an interview technique that that was developed for police. And guess what the name of it is? The Reed technique.
The what?
What is it called?
The Reed technique. My last name, Reed.
Really?
It's called the Reed technique. Reed. And it is an interrogation style type interview that Fox News, all them people, when they bring on Black people. That's why I was telling some of my associates that had been on like Sean Hannity and other programs on Fox News, is why I even go on there. First of all, Black people don't even watch it. I think it's like less than 2%. You know, of their demographic audiences, Black people watching them, and then they're disrespecting you, and they're over talking.
They're very disrespectful.
And then they are just sticking to talking points. She's probably read about the Black Panther Party, but she was getting her information from the police unions and their supporters. Mm-hmm. You know, the racist white supremacists. Okay, and so she got her information. These are things like Ted Cruz when he argued against that guy who was with the NAACP that had represented Mumia and Degbele, it was his last name, and he was trying to get confirmed to work at the Justice Department, and that's Ted Cruz argued on the Senate floor. He got he was handing out literature right before they go on to the floor, you know, about from the police union. This is police union propaganda. Produced about, you know, Black Panthers and Mumia in specific, and to block that guy's nomination because he had worked on, you know, did some legal work, I don't know what extent, on one of Mumia's cases. And so, you know, the whole narrative about them being terrorists, I don't know of any Black Panther Party activities of what I would call terrorism. It was all self-defense. You know what I'm saying? And so, you know, I'll just say he could have handled her more on the history, but it wasn't his program, and she was over talking him and whatnot. He didn't have a chance, so, you know, but she was disgusting.
Whenever he was making a point, she'll say, well, let's talk about such and such and such. She grabbed the conversation and then changed the subject to something that she wanted to. Like Scotty said, take power over, you know, take control over. So, Yeah, she's ignorant.
Yeah, and one thing that I noticed that they always do is they always pull the MLK card. That's what I'm going to start calling it. They always want to pull the MLK card.
I like that.
Okay. Yeah.
I like that.
Want to pull that MLK card and all that bull crap. And I'm so sick of people using his name in that way, using his legacy, using his actions, using him, using his essence in that way. It's always, they always want to bring him up when they want us to be doctors. And I'm so sick of that.
So y'all need to be more like Martin Luther King.
What they have developed is a mentality of combating the realistic elements of white supremacy and racism and oppression by using Dr. King as an epitaph. Well, y'all need to be like this.
Uh-huh.
You see what I'm saying? And in her conversation, which I agree with Scotty, regardless of who's turned on the program, we need to be more informed. See, one thing I loved about Khalid Muhammad was that when he was on Donahue years ago, and me and him laughed about that, you know, when we were together. Uh-huh. When he was on Donahue years ago, his information, and him and Dr. Wesson was on there, both were on there before, but his information was so intact because he had said himself. And see, and I tell people, when we're going to get in front of the camera, let somebody car horn going on.
It sounds like it, doesn't it?
Uh-huh. Yeah. I hear it.
When we get on in front of the cameras or in front of the microphone, I tell the younger people all the time, be prepared. Have your mind sharp enough that when they ask you questions, you understand me, you can deliver positive, strong answers. And I found out, you know, through the last 2 to 5 years of me being caught like that several times, my mind had to be razor sharp when you get in front of that camera on that microphone. And this is what we have to train our people to do. A lot of people get in front of the TV camera. I mean, they think they're Hollywood stars and stuff like that. But that's not important. This brother should have cut her up when she called the Black Panther a terrorist organization.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
He came back at her and said, what white organization has started a program that has been universally used in all the schools? Nobody.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So don't just sit there and tell me that because I carry a gun.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I think he could have chopped her up a little bit more. I would have liked to seen him just chop her up.
Me too.
Go in on her.
Me too.
Not even a little bit, like a lot more harder because it's
Because he had a lot of weapons that he could have used.
Oh man.
Right. There you go, sister. That's what I'm talking about.
There you go. At Arsenal, he could have just slammed her. I mean, it would have taken 2 minutes just to shut her down for me.
That's right.
Because he had some facts. He had some facts that he could have used, not just some summations of his own, some ideology of his own.
Is phone going in or out, or is it just my phone going in and out?
Well, I think it may be just your phone.
Mine is clear. And that's the necessity of, you know, being informed. It's just a black rose for you to be so young. And I say young because you're a little bit younger than that. But
I'm a whole lot younger than you. You better watch
that. Yeah. Shut up, I'm messing with you. But the time you're playing, your third eye is working perfectly because you're always seeking information. I mean, you call me and just ask questions. And see, that makes that third eye work. See, that's that time you're playing. That's that never. See, we got to get back to understanding who we are, like the mother said, who we are, and use this stuff. But you're so informational and reading and trying to gather knowledge that they can't catch you off guard.
No, they won't even have me on the show.
Well, that's what we have to retrain our youth to understand, is because with the reading and the knowledge and the understanding you got, that we, white folks can't catch you off guard at any point in time. As long as they can, if they can't catch you off guard, see, they ain't gonna put you in front of the camera. Because they don't know what, they can't lead you to say what they want to say. But a lot of these people that get in front of the camera, you know, like you told me about somebody with, that may be hitting color, but not checked out that information. And, you know, unfortunately, we have to beware of people like that. And I'm glad you pulled my coat to that.
But Brother Brown, you know what would have really shut that one up was that movie that you have. You have that video where you talk about Dr. King.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I'm going to give you some comments. I feel that. I look at it from time to time.
I would love to see that.
I got one on who actually killed Malcolm X.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's and Asha's statement about parasites is really good. Energy parasites. Yeah. I'm going to use that. I'm going to write me a book around that. But I'm going to give you the props for it, Asha. I got a book right. About energy parasites.
All right. And they run all
the,
right.
People run the same play all the time.
They suck our energy out of us with foolishness.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And you are falling for their foolishness.
Yeah, and so when they pull out that Dr. King stuff, then we'll start saying, look, you put like they did started it with us. Oh, now you're using the race card. We need to. Oh, yeah. Now you want to use the MLK card.
I love it.
Put it back in the deck. He had more than a dream.
Right.
Yeah, that's all they want to talk about is the dream.
Right, yeah. And we're not going to let you use that against us anymore. Now we know that you're going to use the MLK card, and we're going to be on defense for that.
Before they even can use that,
we can pull their coat to us at. Before we start this conversation, don't use the MLK card.
What'd you say before we start this conversation, don't use the MLK card
because that ain't working. See, sometimes you gotta be very blunt with white folks. And I went through a situation 3 weeks ago at a pineapple lady with her daughter in school, and this white lady just tried to control the whole conversation as if nobody could talk but her. And I had to interrupt this. I had to interrupt her and say, wait a minute. I said, now, she's out there every story, but flip side there at corn. I said, now, you have to be quiet and let somebody else talk.
Uh-uh.
Because that's the way I go in the meeting. I don't do no laughing. I don't do no playing and no joking. Because I'm not here for that. I'm here for business when you're attacking my people. If you're attacking my black people, especially my black women and children, and I'm in their defense, then you're not going to have the floor. I don't care if you're good. See, and you know, I applaud everybody here because we have the energy to get something done. And you know, Mother Zola, you've given us information about who we are and the scientific side of who we are.
Right.
Yeah, we have a scientific side. And when you talked about that melanin production, one thing I learned when I was in law, because that was not my favorite subject, but I did learn about genetics. And when this stuff is passed on, they can't duplicate. They can't pull it out. Number one, they can't see it. They can see it and put their hands on it.
It's all over. It's so abundant. Everywhere. It's so abundant.
But it's more abundant. It's more abundant. See what makes them mad. Is more abundant in us than anything on this planet.
Yes. I want to share this with you guys before we come to the end of the show. I just came across this group, and I'm trying to schedule them to come on to our show. They're called the New Era Detroit, and it's a group of young people. Pretty much all of them are under the age of 30. And what they're doing, they're fashioning themselves after the Black Panther Party. And what they're doing is, they get together and they put together these food baskets, just like the Panthers used to do in Houston and Oakland and other cities. They put together these, food baskets, food bags. They just put together like little lunch bags like we used to take to school. Yeah. And they go on the buses, the city buses, and they hand them out to people. And do you know?
Oh, wow.
Yes, and do you know that the police attempted to arrest them? Yes, but they were giving out small brown paper bags. The small ones.
Oh no!
What is the name of this group again?
It's called the New Era Detroit. They have a Facebook page and they have a Twitter page, so you can follow them. And so
I gotta go to Detroit. I need to Wellenberg. I gotta fly there with a friend of mine.
The new era, spell era.
E-R-A.
Oh, okay.
New Era Detroit. They're all 30.
Okay.
And it's men and women, and they're young people.
They're not connected with Malik Shabazz up there.
So what now?
They're not connected with Malik Shabazz, the one that's in Detroit.
Not that I know of, but I'm trying to find out more about them and have them on the show so that they can talk about who they're connected with, how they got started. I think it's
that would be great.
It's a young lady that actually pulled the whole group together. You know, it's always the sisters. It's a young lady that pulled them together. And, I mean, they have, like, some teenagers and they have some young brothers and they just stand out on the street and they talk and they speak and they do community work. But what really impressed me is the fact that they were trying to give out those bags on the buses for people. I just want to share that quickly. And then Aja Zola, she wants to share another recipe with us, and then we'll get ready to close out. And we'll pick back up, Brother Brown. I want you to come back for a full hour just on Black Panthers. And I have a great, tape, but I don't want to sound dated, a clip. A recording that somebody shared with me, and I'd like to share that too. So, Brother Brown, can we have you to come back on and just let you have a full hour of discussing the Black Panthers and the Black Panther movement?
I'll come on after Sister Zola give me another melon excerpt. I'm going to let her be first.
Oh, I sure will. Okay,
you know?
Okay. Good.
And that's
connected
with ancestors and our astrological sign. See, because
okay.
The energy from our ancestors that sits in the heaven. That's where we get our energy.
Right, right. So we'll schedule that, Brother Brown. I'll give you a call and you let me know what date is good for you. So Azizola, bring us this recipe so that we can be healthy.
Oh. All right. This is... I love the body segment. We got to love our body. We got to take care of our body in order to...
Your conference recording has stopped.
Okay.
This conference is being recorded.
It's a one-day detox. Fresh cut strawberries and lemons. Put it in the water. Let it stay in the refrigerator overnight. The next day, drink it. And this tasty beverage will cleanse your digestive tract and promote healthy, flawless skin.
Okay, say that
one
again.
More.
What?
Okay, this is a one-day, just some fresh-cut strawberries. Just however many you want. Just enough to make, you know, glass or whatever. It's a one-day detox. So just get you some fresh-cut strawberries and some lemons. Put them in the water like you do your cucumber water. Okay? Then you put it in the refrigerator, let it stay overnight, and then the next day, you drink it. So this will cleanse your digestive tract and promote healthy, flawless skin. One more real quickly. These will be on your, I've already got my other recipes that I've given out. They're on your Lotus Place radio page. Okay, so I'll put these up there too. This is a pineapple morning cleanser. Okay, a can of pineapple.
Pineapple.
Yes.
Pinogram.
Yes. Okay. So a can of pineapple juice, not the kind that's concentrate. Get the not some concentrate. A half teaspoon of turmeric. Okay, you know how good turmeric is for you. A fourth teaspoon of cayenne pepper. A fourth teaspoon of cinnamon. A pinch of nutmeg, which is optional. I just do it because I like it. And so you put this all in a blender, and you serve it cold. This will detox and cleanse you, and it aids in weight loss. And it tastes so good. And it's going to be yellow because of the turmeric turns things yellow. But this is wonderful, isn't it? Black Rose.
I love it. Now, just give us the ingredients again before we close out, because some people may not have had their little pen and paper. Look, let me let you guys know, you got to have your pencil sharpened, like my grandmother used to say. You got to have your pencil sharpened when Lotus Place comes on, because you never know what kind of information may be given
out. That's right.
So, right. So, give us that recipe again, because I was trying to write it down.
Okay. Okay. So. One can of, I say, Dole, D-O-L-E, pineapple juice, because it's not some concentrate. A half teaspoon of turmeric. And put a little black pepper in with the turmeric, because that helps the absorption of the turmeric. You have to put black pepper. So about a fourth teaspoon of black pepper. A fourth teaspoon of cayenne pepper. That warms your body, gets it going, gets your metabolism rate going. A fourth teaspoon of cinnamon. Cinnamon has lots and lots of benefits. And if you like, you can just do a pinch of nutmeg. And nutmeg, I will do a thing on nutmeg, too, because nutmeg and cinnamon, you'll be amazed at what all they can do for your body. So you blend this, and you serve it cold. This will detox and cleanse your body, and it aids in weight loss. And it's delicious. It's delicious. Drink that first thing in the morning.
Okay. I have one little quick thing I want to share with people, because I was like up last night reading about all the many benefits of this. Go to an Indian store and pick up ASSAFOETIDA. Let me spell it again. It's, it's ASSAFOETIDA. It's in a little small yellow, like little container. But this stuff does everything from clear the worms out of you, all kind of little worms.
Asafoetida.
It clears the worms. Yes, asafoetida. And it even helps your mood. Like if you're feeling too much anxiety or hysteria, they say people used to actually use this for curing hysteria. Like if you feel yourself going crazy, people would actually use this. You could just like sniff it, and maybe one day we'll go through like how you can use this and the many different ways to use this. But like diseases, cancer, mood swings for your liver. This is something that you can just sprinkle in your food, or you can take it. Now, I've even heard an herbalist, she told me years ago that you can, well, what people used to do back in the day is they would take this at the change of every season. You take a half a teaspoon of this with a shot of brown liquor, some whiskey, and it'll clear all the worms out of you. So,
And we have a lot of worms in our system.
Yeah, we do.
We do have worms in our system.
Right. And this asafoetida, it has turmeric in it also. And so turmeric can be used as in combination with a cocktail to cure HIV. So that just lets you know turmeric, how powerful it is.
Turmeric is very powerful.
This right here. Oh, yes.
Like some of Dr. Savior's teeth.
Don't it, though?
Yeah.
But you got to be careful with this. That's why you got to know, like, how to use it. And for what you're using it for, because too much of it can hurt you. But it's good for your digestive system, Brother Brown. Maybe I need to get you some and send you some, because I know you mentioned some digestive complications.
Yeah. Right. I think my gallbladder surgery I had. I like that recipe that Sister Zola gave. I'm gonna use that. I wrote that down.
Okay. Because I was gonna ask her to send it to you. Okay.
The one with the pineapple juice.
Okay, it's good. It's good.
The other one with the lemon and the strawberries, because I only eat fresh fruits anyway. And I use a lot of berries, like fresh blackberries, fresh blueberries, you know, because they help with digestion stress. So I'm going to use one berry with the lemon and the water, and then just drink it. So that's what I want to do.
Okay.
I'm going to call y'all after the program.
Okay, Brother Brown. Love you. Thank you,
Scotty.
Thank you, Mother Zola. Thank you, Brother Brown. Thank you, Mother Hattie. And even thank you, Delta Cougar. But I don't think we're going to let you come back on for a while. We're going to have to give you a break. All right. You know what? We're going to learn to treat each other like we treat white folks when we're working on
their
jobs.
That's
one thing
that
we're going to have to do. Because you know what? We treat each other differently when we're working with each other from the way we treat white people when we're working with them. We don't follow things on their job. That do.
Nope.
No.
Sure don't.
Because we're in
there.
They're still on left.
That's right. You still got the slave mind. It's not going to have a slave mind now.
Thank you, baby. Come on, baby.
And good night. That's right.
Good night.
Good night. Real and lovely.
All right. Namaste.